You're listening to Circle of Hope's Sunday Meeting Podcast. This talk was given at 2309 North Broad Street. For more information, check out circleofhope.net or join us in person on Sunday evenings at 5 and 7 p.m.
So Andrea was talking about this earlier and Aaron's going to talk about it later. We're in this process. Someone asked me, why are we talking about cheese and discernment? Have you noticed that sometimes this comes up and you might not be paying attention exactly to what's happening? We're trying to discern what God has given us to do in the next year. And we were in a room yesterday, like all day, talking and listening and trying to, you know, get a sense of the Spirit, not just the kind of a summation of the averages, but where does God actually want us to go? So we collected a lot of material and a lot of information and are distilling it down to cheese. And next Monday will be our council meeting where we kind of see what we made and taste it and see if it's any good. And I think that Christians in general are listening to the people around them and speaking in a way that can be heard. But I don't think that we often get that modeled to us. I think that, have you ever witnessed an argument between someone, between two people, and they're talking past each other? Or they're kind of missing the point of what the other person is saying. And sometimes you might be generous enough to help them listen. Or other times you might be in that argument and then later on you realize, oh, this is how I should have said this. You know, rather than speaking in a way to win, we're trying to speak in a way to connect, to reconcile, to follow God together. But I don't often, I think we see people talking past each other a lot in an effort to win an argument or even organize a group of people. And so I want to talk about this loudness and the cost of it and the quietness that may kind of be how God is relating to us. I've been thinking a lot about it because I have a lot of friends who are activists who organize people with a certain vernacular that kind of attracts like-minded people to them. But I think sometimes they isolate others, and rather than winning someone over to a cause, they just separate and they isolate. One of the reasons I'm still following Jesus is because someone learned to speak my language and helps me connect to him again in a gentle, relational, careful way. I grew up in a fairly conservative place. Lebanon County is really interesting because there's rules for how to relate, but no one ever tells you them. You learn by making mistakes, by bumping at you. You only learn about the rules when you get in trouble. They're not posted anywhere. And so there's a way to talk, a way to relate, things to feel and think. It's fairly, and by the end of it, I mean, I can really survive in Lebanon County. I can do a really, I can work out my life there pretty well. And by the way, so does the culture that I'm from, you know. Cairo has its set of rules too, and norms, and every place does. It's not specific to where I grew up, that's just where I grew up. You know, there are virtues and values that we're supposed to have, and they're supposed to be followed. We know how to act and think and feel. It's a subcultural question. And it comes in certain communities more than others. You know, we see this thing all the time today. And I don't think there's anything wrong with hanging out with people that are like you. Seems pretty natural. Do you ever walk into a diverse high school cafeteria? I said this earlier, and a lot of people hadn't. Or they haven't been to high school in a long time. You know, which, you know, this isn't even like, what? But you remember this?
Yeah.
Peggy,
yeah. I was high school.
What's that?
I had a very good.
So, when Beverly Tatum wrote a book called Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria? And what she found, is at least a part of it, is that different groups assemble together. I saw this at temple all the time. You know, temples, I went to undergrad at temple, and it's the, when I went, they called it the most diverse university in the country. Is that true? I'm looking at temple grads to see if they can verify this fact.
I don't know if they call it the most diverse, but they don't really like use that one of the selling points.
And maybe it's gotten less diverse since I've been there.
Honestly, it kind of has a little bit. Like, it's moving more towards, I wouldn't say a singular particular group, but a little bit less diverse, I think.
And you would have people groups assembled. It'd be very interesting. Now, I don't know, there was a lot of Arabs that would hang out, and I wasn't directly with them, but I knew they existed. People conglomerate. When I taught, I student taught at Frankfurt High School. I was a student teacher at Frankfurt High School. What I did was not teaching. I kind of just survived in the crazy classroom. And one of the, technically, there was a seating assignment. Like, seats where you were supposed to sit if you were a student. But it was kind of a lost cause to have the kids sit anywhere that, or like really do anything that I wanted them to do. You know, so it was a classroom management nightmare. And then they assembled by their race. It's roughly split black, white, and Latino. And they organized themselves according to their race. Rather naturally, no one ever told them to do this, that's just what they did. And even in the Latino section, the Dominicans and the Puerto Ricans had their own zones, you know. Sometimes they would like flirt with each other, but when they did, we would talk about it, you know. I wasn't talking about it. they were in. And I never felt the need to integrate them because I thought, okay, if that's how you feel safe, that's fine. It was okay. There wasn't a lot of Egyptians in Lebanon County growing up, maybe another family. So I had to find other groups to identify with and to connect to. You know, we're a tribal kind of species, right? And so I found a gang of Volkswagen enthusiasts. This is what I would call a low point of my life. And we called ourselves Dubbers. And we would drive like 20 or 30 deep, you know, all these cars that were modified. I still, you know,
you hang out at like the mall, like those dudes that used to hang out at the mall with a lot of cars and stuff.
Totally did that. We used to go to car shows and meetups, right?
Yeah.
And we would drive recklessly together with the idea that how could a cop pull over 30 dudes? You know, we got the numbers. Never happened. We were fine. You know, we would bend the rules, but never too recklessly. And that's who my people were. And then in college, I met other people that I connected to as well. And I still have those groups now. We all kind of do. You know, I was just walking the other day with my friend, and I saw a person with an Eagles shirt on. And, you know, in Philadelphia, there's going to be a lot of Eagles people, so I didn't, like, yell at him to attract his attention and say, hey. But if I was in, like, I was in Portland once, and I saw a guy with a Phillies cap, and there was an automatic, like, connection and the intimacy that was formed. You know, because we're part of the same tribe, the same group, we get it. It's nice to be around people that are like us. And I think that we generally organize this way. You know, Facebook has an algorithm that does this for you. The things you like, it lets you see more of. And so, like, I see my people stuff all the time. Like, the pastors in Circle of Hope, they're like right in my zone. Whatever they're sharing, I'm interested in. And Facebook knows that the benevolent algorithm blesses me with my echo chamber. It keeps me kind of organized into the things that I'm into. So God bless Zuckerberg here. The other day, I mean, we'll get some more about this later, but I think that there's a cost to the safe environment. One, people say our views never get challenged. I read this article the other day that basically said, here's why you're never going to change your mind. This was talking about politics in particular. One of the reasons is that we seek out things that are already confirmed. what we believe, and we're not listening to people to challenge us. We just can't possibly believe that we have the wrong idea. We're very loud about it, or we can tend to be, and so we don't have an appropriate challenge. And I'm not even asking you to change your mind, really, but just to learn how someone else is thinking and empathize with them. You know, from wherever you are, how do we actually have a little relationship? How do we speak the same language? And the reason that I think Christians in general are interested in this is because we have an idea about Jesus that's expressed in many ways, and we're learning how to speak the language of the day to help people follow Jesus. You know, if we're very loud about Jesus, it's not very effective. You know, you have to connect to a culture in a real way, in an authentic way. I think we need to learn how to talk to each other. And the reason that I feel particularly passionate about this is because Circle of Hope talks to me in a way that I can understand. You know, not just because I met like-minded people here, but because you really seem to grasp a careful way to help people follow Jesus without cramming him down my throat. That was really helpful for me. And so I think that that kind of a spirit and gentleness is how Jesus even works. And if we ever find ourselves cramming something down someone's throat, even if it's not Jesus, but if it's another idea, you know, we may need to reconsider our strategy if our goal is to disciple someone and move them from here to there. Sometimes there can be violence in the way that we talk to each other. We want to be loud, like bumper sticker loud. You don't see many winsome bumper stickers, do you? You know? They're usually just like little loud statements that are intended to organize a group of people. Or you go to a protest or something like that and you have someone has a sign. The sign is supposed to be loud on purpose. If it's too nuanced, no one's going to read it. You can't have a paragraph on your sign. You know, it has to be simple. And so I think Jesus is actually more interested in the relationship and less interested in the loud messaging, at least today. Although he had his moments of loudness, and so we should acknowledge that too. People scream about an idea is not to convince someone of something, but to organize, to assemble people like them. It's a good way to organize, and I think it's a good way to help someone feel safe, even. But it's not an effective way to disciple somebody. God helped Jewish people, the Israelites, formed their nation. They were a united monarchy. It was hard for them to stay together. The kingdom divided. They kept getting conquered and then split apart. All these different empires conquered Israel and Judah over the time. And by the time of Pentecost, they were far flung across the region. They were dispersed. And they gathered once more to be united, and they can actually speak each other's language. We see this now. I mean, and that Jesus came to not reunite them, but to reunite everybody, humanity, under his reign. And the early church kind of kept united for several centuries, and then they split. And then by the time the Reformation came, they split again, and then Protestants really just went every which way. A lot of different things, you know. Not a lot of consciousness about being together. Although we might be getting some of that back. It's hard to stay together. It's hard to be united. I want you to check out this passage. This is all we're going to read tonight. Devoted Jews observe Pentecost when all these different people are speaking. They're foreign tongues, but still understanding each other. They're speaking in a way that's understandable, and the Spirit's helping them relate and connect. So I'm not allowed to read these handful of verses.
There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem this often they heard, one after another, their own mother tongue being spoken. They were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Others joke. They're drunk on sheep water.
This is Eugene Peterson's The Message. Sometimes I use this passage, his translation of the Bible. He actually tries to translate the Bible in the language of the day to try to help people understand what's happening. But if you need to cross-check it with whatever Bible you prefer, that's fine. A lot of the other translations say new wine here, young wine. For some reason, that's what they say. Here he says sheep wine. I'm not sure how he got there, but it's interesting. They thought they were drunk because they were getting along. Have you ever heard someone call alcohol a social lubricant? It makes it a little easier to talk to each other. I don't even know if that's true, but I hear it. They were getting along so well, it couldn't have been the spirit or some movement connecting them. It had to be booze. And they were acting so ecstatic and excited. Surely this is it. We kind of don't believe that sometimes, even today. They weren't bonded together because, you know, they were drunk or just because they wanted to be nice or polite. They had a lot in common, including what God gave them to do. Pentecost is the day that begins a movement for the church. They were connected in doing something together. It wasn't long before they did separate. You know, before long we section off and try to protect the little camps that we have. I see it all the time. There's a lot of hostility, even in like-minded groups. Most of our leaders are shouting about one thing or another, hardening the lines that keep us closed off. We lose our ability to talk to each other because we would rather be right than be together. Moral superiority and moral righteousness. That's the highest call. But to actually try to connect and relate at a deeper level and do something in common, that doesn't seem to be so what I hear. You know, we want to collect the people that agree with us already and be cool together. There's a problem with that. Now I'm a loud guy myself. And I like booing and hollering with my friends. It's a good time. And it can be fun to connect with people that agree with me. You know, this is why it's fun to watch a sporting event with people that like your team. It's very exciting to do that. It's more annoying to watch it with someone who likes the other team. Like, I don't really want to, like, it's really hard for me to even be friends with Dallas Cowboy fans. It really is. I don't know. Especially if we start talking about the stuff, you know, because they really are like opposites to me, you know. Or like right now, I mean, like I don't want to talk to any Pittsburgh person about Sidney Crosby. It's a very irritating thing. You're from Pittsburgh, right?
I don't really want to talk to you.
That's good. That's why we can be friends. You know, it's annoying to do that for some reason. I'd rather be like-minded together. Here we are. Because it's easier to hang out with people that are like me. And it can help us organize. It can help us even help people know it's safe to be here. But I have to admit that in diverse company, loudness can be off-putting. And we have to be careful about how we talk. Because you actually may offend somebody, but more than that, you might be shooting yourself in the foot, especially if you're doing something more serious than watching football or something. You know, Eagles fans apparently have a reputation for being particularly loud, which I refute in general because I think we've been mischaracterized by the media. But we have a reputation that precedes us. For some reason, you throw one snowball at Santa and you're cursed for the rest of time. You know, it's unbelievable. Or we throw batteries at J.D. Drew. You know, there's a lot of things that we did that's questionable. You know, we'd probably do it again. You know, they weren't that. We didn't. He survived. And so loudness can isolate you, you know. We can't even relate. We're too brutal, too mean, too even mean-spirited. You know, I know the language that I can speak with my friends and my people, but I have to learn and discern how to speak the language of people who are different than me. And you might feel this tension with people that are close to you that happen to disagree. It's easier to hang out with people that are like me already, but I'm compelled to do something more with people who are different than me. You know, this is why I'm really sensitive, I think. And I think Circle of Hope is, in general, to people who don't yet have faith. You know, we really aren't committed to meeting them where they are. And the Sunday meeting kind of is designed for that. I hope that we demonstrate the same grace when we're talking about other things, too, though. I don't want to just be polite. You know, only a certain amount of us can ignore our convictions for the sake of relating. When we speak about reconciliation, we're not talking about ignoring what makes us different and ignoring important issues. Reconciliation without diversity is kind of pointless. We have to be different. You know, when Jesus brings us together with our differences and unites us for a common cause, that's really good. If we just happen to be united with people that are like us, that's not very miraculous. That's kind of just high school cafeteria stuff. It's normal. What's the miracle? What's the big deal? You know, if you're loud, you'll attract people that are like you. If you're quiet, you might convince someone of something else. We're talking about moving together with God in His way. And that's not neutral, but it's loving and it's truthful. It's not a question of content, it's a question of context. What's the container that I'm presenting the gospel in? It's a question of strategy. When we're loud, we define ourselves in tiny segments. We compete with who is holier than the other, create factions. And it weakens us as a whole. The Jewish people themselves divided themselves up, repeatedly got conquered until they were spread out into tiny bits. And the Pentecostal movement is all about reuniting a group of people. It's going to get messy, though. Disagreements will happen. Conflict, tension. We have to be committed to moving forward with God, towards the truth, not the central, banal medium. If reconciliation that Jesus brings forth between people is just the average, I'm not sure we've gotten it anyway. The gospel isn't just moderation. But it's not about loud language. Jesus was loud when he was fighting people who were opposing him, but when he was talking to someone who didn't yet know him, you know? His yoke was easy, his burden is light. Jesus, as he is expressed in Circle of Hope, is best revealed face to face. We say incarnationally, in the flesh. We reveal him in the language of our day. Just like he revealed himself to us, God came down in the form of a person to relate to us. And we're gentle, even here, maybe to a fault, about sharing that message. You know, we can be a little hesitant to do it. Shy, nervous, anxious. We should think about that. But we should also think about what we're not so cautious about sharing and why we aren't and what that means. You know, for a lot of us, we grew up in a loud environment. And when it comes to things like Jesus in the Bible and following him, and so are especially cautious about being quiet now. But be aware of what things you are loud about, don't have the kind of nuance and care with that you do in other areas. You know, so Circle of Hope has some things to think about there too, I think. I hope we can exhibit the same gentleness when we talk about other parts of our faith and convictions. So, self-reflect for a moment. Think about what areas of your life and your faith you're loud about, and what could use some quieting down. You might have good reasons to be loud, and we can talk about them. But if you're trying to help someone different than you move with God, you might need to learn to speak their language.
Thanks for listening to Circle of Hope's Sunday Meeting Podcast. If you want to talk about it or get connected to a cell, you can find one under our Connect dropdown at circleofhope.net.